This is Dish and Dirt with Gary Pickren, South Carolina's only podcast dedicated to the real estate agent craft. And now, the host of Dish and Dirt, Gary Pickren.
And greetings, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Dish and Dirt. I'm your often opinionated but rarely wrong host, Gary Pickren, coming to you from the beautiful offices of Blair Cato Pickren Castline in downtown Columbia, South Carolina. This, the first full week of March 2024. Great show for you this week. I have the CEO of OSnap Social. Her name is Carlin Ankrum, and she is going to join us today to talk about all kind of things related to social media. And one of the main things I want everybody to get from this episode is that when people go to social media, they go to be entertained. They don't go to be sold. So in using your social media platforms, you have to learn how to entertain. And I'm not talking about dancing or singing to somebody. There are many ways that you can entertain as a business without going outside of your branding or who you are. But you've got to learn how to entertain in that 15 to 30 seconds that you have in front of the consumer. So going to learn a lot of really cool things about how that's done and how that's done effectively. So y'all go ahead and jump into the episode with me here, and we're going to start with Carlin. All right, guys. Joining me today is Carlin Ankrum, who is the founder and lead strategist of OSnap Social, as well as the creator of the Fan Firestarter Framework, which we're going to hear about today. She has a new approach to social media marketing tailored to businesses, as she says, quote, tempted to fake their death and flee to Tahiti at the mere thought of content creation. I want to just flee there anyway, because it sounds like a wonderful place to go. But she has developed her user-friendly strategy after a decade of working in various brick-and-mortar businesses that were social media allergic. I think a lot of us are that. And she says it's not because they don't want to make content. They're just either intimidated by it or, as I say, are scared of it. Carlin's system addresses this fear, helps newbies get on the fast track to unsticking their social media in just 1 hour per week. So very excited to have you on, Carlin. This is going to be really a neat conversation today.
I'm excited to get into it. Let's do it.
So before we even start, I'm going to go ahead and start from the very first question that's just got my mind is, what in the world is a fan firestarter framework? That's awful hard for me to say, being from South Carolina, of course.
Well, and it's funny. I always tell people, like, don't ask me to say that 10 times fast because I wouldn't ever do it. I just have this thing that I love about alliteration. But it's really our signature framework that we walk all of our clients through, from auditing their social media to really like taking note of the metrics and benchmarks of where they're starting. And then it goes into the strategy, which then again, you know, takes note of their goals, their content cadence, their content pillars, how they behave on social, how do they look on social. And then, of course, the last part of the framework is advancing the strategy forward through implementation, and or various degrees of consulting with the clients for, you know, done with you all the way to DIY. So that's kind of our quick framework and very quick description of said framework. But we love it because it just kind of hits all of the key points on getting someone unstuck, essentially, and getting moving to the fast track. And each of them are phases that they can be standalone or they ladder up upon each other, which I think is pretty cool, too.
Well, it's hard to get unstuck until you know what you're doing right or wrong. And that's the first thing I noticed about the program was the analysis. I think I saw on your website it's a good week to 10 days, 14 days, just to analyze where you are. So if you're stuck with your social media, and I feel like a lot of us are stuck in, it's just posting the same old sold signs, another happy client. Look at my new listing. It's the same crap that everybody else puts out, which has absolutely no value to me whatsoever as a consumer. Mm-hmm. We got to have you do that analysis first.
Yes, absolutely. Step number one. And then how do you find the different aspect of you that you can pull out and put out on social media?
So is that the number one thing? Let's just go ahead and skip right into the meat of this thing. Yeah. Is that the number one thing that most of us are missing when we're talking about our social media, is the real us, the authenticity, the genuineness of who we are? Because it doesn't seem like another listing sold or I'm the number one agent in the Spartanburg or Greenville is meaningful to most people.
Yeah, people don't tend to care about that. They want to know who you are. They want to know what is your personality? Where do you go for coffee on Sunday mornings? If you are someone who likes to run, like how can you incorporate that into your social? So I'm going to shout out one of my realtors here that I love in Northern Virginia. He appeals to first-time home buyers. So what are those people? They are Gen Z. Gen Z does everything fast and furious. They don't spend time like watching a long video of a home tour. So what he decided to do, and his name is Kyle Toomey, you can look him up. He was really smart, and then he combined his love of running with doing quick Gen Z house tours. So he literally has a videographer that runs with him through these houses, set to music, and that is his content. And sometimes he gets the homeowner involved, which is super fun. Other times he gets other realtors involved. They're like running down the street, you know, and as, you know, deadline is 5 p.m., you know, and it's like all the realtors, like one's on a scooter, one's running, one's like on roller skates. They're all trying to get. So he incorporates that level of authenticity, but also some of his like quirky humor that he has, as well as running. So it's like running mixed with real estate. And I think he on like Yahoo or some fancy pants website, I think they dubbed him like the running realtor. I don't know if he like embraces that title, but it's something really cool that helps him stand out, especially among his target demographic.
And I'm sure he's known in the community as, oh, that's that real estate agent who always runs. It creates the brand for him in a lot of ways.
Yes.
That's fantastic. But when you talk about marketing and marketing plans for real estate agents in particular, they're constantly looking for immediate results. And particularly, they want immediate ROI, the return on investment. Does social media even lead to immediate return in investment? Is it something that I've got to start laying the seeds and groundwork today and maybe just maybe 6 months from now? Or can I actually see immediate results?
So I think this is a tricky one, right? Because, you know, it depends on your goals. It depends on, are you in fact measuring what matters to your overall arching business and marketing objectives? Because again, social media is always just a sliver of your overall marketing tactics. And social media, for better or for worse, it is a long-term game of sorts. And we have to be willing to step up to the plate and bat. And you can't expect virality immediately, just like, you know, a lot of the gurus are like, you have to post 7 million times a day, and then you're going to get a following, and then you're going to make all this money. If it was that simple, we would all be rich. Can we just like say it for what it is? And so for us, looking for the ROI is, do you even know what ROI means in your specific social media efforts? Is it to get more people to your website? Is it to get more followers? Is it to people to book more private tours for homes? Is it to up engagement, have more conversation in the comments? That is where you can measure that ROI. But until you know how you're defining ROI, you can't accurately measure it.
A lot of people don't know what they're looking for in social media. They're looking to go viral, but what does that even mean anymore? It's like, who cares? My daughter had a post that she posted of a movie star she took a picture with. I mean, it didn't even know him. It went viral, 2 million likes, tens of thousands of comments. They all thought she was his girlfriend, which was literally ridiculous. I mean, she spent literally about a second and a half with this dude, and it goes viral that this is now this movie star's girlfriend. And it went viral for no reason. And which is my point is that what goes viral is usually stupid. It has really nothing to do with anything of any substance whatsoever.
Yes. And I always caution anyone who feels comfortable adopting trends, like whether it's a trending audio or like a trending dance, like maybe you're the dancing realtor. I don't know. Like if there's something in the trend, always, always, always try to tie it back to your business in some way, because the worst thing is to go viral and then have it nothing to do with your content. So you get all of these followers and they get there thinking it's a dancing account. And then they're like, wait a minute, who is this? Why are they talking about real estate? Like, I'm confused. And then they leave. So you get them as fast as they leave. So just always think about, how can I tie whatever trend or whatever I'm saying into my business?
And I don't think if it ties for you, then it's probably not very authentic of who it is. I mean, I'm the last person who would get up and dance to anything. So I'm not sure that me dancing would actually come across the least bit authentic.
Correct. I'm just using that as like an example. Right. Like, even if it's, you know, you like get a picture of like your dog and you're doing like a walk around the neighborhood because that's what you do every morning, and you put like a piece of text over it for the reel, make sure the text and the caption relates to, you know, scouting out neighborhoods, you know, whatever. Make it relevant rather than it just like you're walking your dog.
the number of likes and followers seems to be the driving force for every real estate. I've got to have a million likes. I got to have a million followers. Does that really even matter? If I sell real estate in Greenville, South Carolina, do I need likes from Cincinnati or Cleveland, Ohio?
No. I always say this, and like, it's, you know, some people feel kind of some way about this, but I'm like, follower count doesn't matter if you don't have that many emails in your database. Like, I don't care. And I recently just kind of did a spoof on this on my own account where I was like, on the caption, I said, how I got 40,000 followers in 7 days. And then I had a comment that said, that popped up on the video, said, I didn't, but I still have a successful business. Right. And like, and you know, people were seeing that because I knew that the algorithm liked it. That kind of like tips and tricks and viral and blah. And then I kind of like threw a bucket of water on the fire, kind of. And I was like,
I like that.
I didn't, but I knew what the algorithm was liking. So I adapted my content accordingly, but I still maintained authenticity. And things that I always say is follower count does not matter. What matters is that you have a successful business, and you can do that whether you have 200 followers or 200,000 followers.
Meaning the right followers is what matters.
And the right followers, people that are actually going to take the time to engage. And that's why I get so frustrated with certain industries of like, oh, they need to have these big followings to have clout. But then their engagement is in the tank. There's no one engaging. It's like, who cares? If no one's having comments, no one's engaging with your content, it doesn't matter. But it's the perception that I think a lot of us get wrapped up in.
I think it's that. I think it's ego. I mean, for me, it's ego. Yeah. I mean, I got a podcast and I want a million followers. And it was neat when I started picking up people in Seattle and Cleveland and Denver and some of these other places. And I told my business coach, look at me. I'm picking up followers in San Francisco where you live. And she's like, what do you care? How many closings are you going to do in San Francisco this year? And I'm like, zero. She's like, then what do you care? And I'm like, yeah, it's cool. It's cool. She's like, all that matters is how many real estate agents in South Carolina follow mm-hmm. you. That's it. That's all that
that's
matters.
It.
Quit worrying about it. So,
yeah,
still, I got an ego.
I also think like just keeping the ego in check, right? And that's why having those goals concrete, written down in front of you day in and day out will help you refocus every single time. You're like, yeah. And then you're like, wait, does this matter?
Yeah. What matters is how much money these ultimately will put in my pocket. And if I can communicate with 100 or 50 or 10 people in Columbia, South Carolina, or Greenville, or Spartanburg, mm-hmm. South Carolina, who want to buy a house, and I get those 10, then that's a whole lot better than a million followers in Texas for me.
And I love what you just said, because I always talk about that. Like, if someone walked into your, if 30 people right now walked into your door right now to see what you were doing, I would be like, what are you all doing here? And that's the kind of reach we have on social. So again, 30 people, a million people, whatever. It's still people that are peeking into your world to learn something from you or just to see what you're doing.
That's a neat way of looking at it.
Yeah. It would freak me out if 30 people walked into my front door right now. It was like, hey, what you doing? I would be like, please leave.
Yeah. Go follow me on social media, please.
Yeah. That's where I'm expecting lurkers.
So real estate's taught all along that relationship is the essential tool of business, creating relationships, mm-hmm. building these relationships. Mm-hmm. And is that something that we can relate in social media, that we can get that across, a relationship building through social media?
Yes. And I learned this from an awesome human. Her name is Chelsea Pietz. I'm going to pronounce her last name wrong if she's listening to this. She also works in the real estate angle. She is really, really great at this relationship building through trusting her audience and her audience trusting her. And the way that she can do that is through Instagram stories. That is where a lot of people get to know the real you, that get to kind of see behind the curtain. And that's where you can kind of add a little personality, but also engage your, you know, potential clients, but also existing ones that maybe haven't bought or sold with you in years. Mm-hmm. Example that I gave you with my real estate agent. I'm always chatting him up inside Instagram. I don't text him. I don't do like, because we're not in the market right now. But he is staying top of mind at all times by creating compelling content that makes me laugh, that like makes me learn something. And, you know, he shares very candidly. And I think that's also something that a lot of people don't do freely, is just share their experience or share what went wrong in this deal or shared what went right. You know, and if you're have an added layer of real estate that you embark on, whether it's investments or maybe you're an Airbnb host, like share that with people, because people in your audience might also be thinking about that. And if you're the guinea pig and they can learn from you, then all the better.
You know, if you think about who are the most popular or famous real estate agents in the United States right now, the ones that are on television. It's the Josh Altmans, Josh Flags, Ryan Serhant, Tracy, all these people. But we don't like them because Josh sold $100 million in real estate this week. We like them because we get to know their personalities and create a parasocial relationship with them.
Yes.
So if it works for these people on television, why would it not work for the average real estate agent sitting in South Carolina?
Yeah. And I think at the same time, like, if social media is supposed to be conversational, that's why social is in front of the word media. And I think a lot of times we forget that. We're so busy pushing content out there that we forget to have conversations. And those conversations can start with you simply leaving a relevant comment on maybe, you know, one of your former clients, just to like show up again, like, oh yeah, I forgot that Bill was here, you know, like just to show up on their radar, to have that conversation and not be passively scrolling, but really being intentional with the time that you're spending on these social platforms, engaging, creating compelling and educational content, and letting people like see the inside of what you do on a day-to-day basis.
I like that, because I've been wondering why this hasn't happened in the investment world. A lot of these real estate investors will kind of go do a day in the life of. They'll show one of their transactions from beginning to end, all the way through, because what they're trying to do is convince other investors, you want to buy my program to be like me. Why is real estate agents not doing the same thing? I could see a really compelling video series of a real estate agent basically following a homeowner from the time they start working all the way to the end and making short little reels off of that.
Love
maybe
it.
30 seconds, and could have... I think that's something that could almost create a lot of excitement, almost like a television show. I mean, that's why we want to be entertained more than anything.
Yes.
That's why the kids sit there and just constantly flip and flip and flip over the most inane, stupid content on TikTok. But it entertains their little mind somehow. So why are we not creating entertainment instead of just, I sold another house?
And I think that is a key, is like, when you're creating content, people are going onto social media not to be sold to. People are going to social media to be entertained. So how can you, to your point, incorporate that? You know, whether it's sharing something of value, sharing the story behind how that deal closed, like not just like, oh, another sold house. It's like, you know, really highlighting the process. Or, I mean, I keep thinking about other real estate agents who go live, right? And they're talking about every Monday, the episodic content. Every Monday, they go live to answer first-time homebuyers' questions, you know, and they know that. And so a lot of other real estate agents who maybe don't serve that particular clientele, guess who they're telling to go follow that person.
So what are some tangible things that a real estate agent could do today to try to move their needle for them in social media? Because a lot of people, and I would, if it wasn't for the fantastic Olivia that I have here, who is phenomenal at our marketing and our branding and all that, I wouldn't have the first clue to even start with a social media. I understand it, but unlike most people, I just get the paralysis. I just don't know where to go. So what do we need to do to start moving that needle for most agents?
I think the biggest thing is to show up on video as you. Yes, AI, artificial intelligence, is getting smarter by the day. And it is slowly going to be able to be you on social media, but you can show up as you in the moment, share behind the scenes, get people to know who you are, as well as flex your expertise muscle. But do that through video, because that is the quickest way to build trust these days. Again, create a way for people to opt in. I know some of us are limited based on our brokerage and like what website we have set up or don't have set up, but make sure there is a way for people to opt in to something, connecting the digital dots of some sort, whether it's, you know, a quick guide to your first time home buyer. I keep using that example because it's one that we all can kind of relate to. Or the best things I love about Greenville, South Carolina. Like maybe it's a local coffee shop that you love, or like the trampoline park that your kids' birthday parties are always at. And it just gives people a quick guide. I know you can't comment on like the, you know, awesome neighborhood and like all of the demographics, but you can highlight some really cool places if people are thinking about moving to the area. And then that can also be an elevation for you to get on the radar of all the other like cool local spots as well on social. Mm-hmm. Engage with others in the community where your audience already hangs out. I kind of just alluded to that. So if there is a hotspot coffee shop that everyone goes to, if you go there in the mornings, snap a picture, tag them, and then also be sure to go to that coffee shop's Instagram, for an example, or Facebook, and leave a comment in that, because chances are, who's also liking that coffee shop? People who live there.
Mm-hmm. Excellent right? idea.
I think it's just something that's like low-hanging fruit that is super easy for you to kind of just show up and be part of the conversation. You're not looking to sell. You're just looking to be on the radar of the people that hang out in those particular places in the community. And that also branches over to the digital landscape as well.
In the last few minutes we have, I do want to talk about one thing that I see that's missing in most people's social media. Mm-hmm. And it's sales 101, but I don't really know myself how you put this into social media. It's a call to action. Anytime you sell, you have to have a call to action. So what kind of call of action, or call to actions, I should say, should we have in our social media to advance what our goals are?
Yeah. And I think the first thing you said, too, is what are the goals? So your goals need to align with your call to action. So for me, there's two different kinds of calls to action. One is what I call like internal calls to action, which means like you stay on the platform. You know, you're looking for engagement right there in the comments section, or you're looking for them to click the link in your bio or visit your web. Those are things to get them involved in the actual content. Take a poll in Instagram stories. And then the other is external, where we're directing people somewhere else, right? And so let's go back to internal examples. So again, keeping people on the platform, getting them to do some type of action there. It could be save for later, follow for more, double tap if you found this helpful, drop a thumbs up emoji here if you agree. Let me know if you needed to hear that today. You know, share it with your community. What's your go-to latte order? You know, like things like that. If you're talking about, you know, day in the life of you at the coffee shop, you know, getting those contracts drummed up, you know, drop me a direct message if you want to learn more about this topic or if you want to join me. Whatever you do, I think the quick golden nugget is to make it simple. People do not want to think of their life story in replying to your question of your call to action, right? Like if you say, ready to learn more, comment, I'm ready to get the goods immediately. And then you can also, you've been seeing this probably a lot on Instagram in particular, and you can go back and DM them the link that they want more of. Because then you're not even asking them to go in the link in bio. You're giving them that piece of content and you're starting a direct message with them at the same time, mm-hmm. which again is invaluable and conversational. And yes, some of the, you know, ninja users of Instagram will set up like a chat bot to get that link directly to go to these people. But if you are starting simple, you can take that link and drop it yourself. Like, let's just be true to what it is and keeping it simple. The external examples again are like download your copy, ready to get started right this way, find out more, lend your support, you know. And I think another thing is instead of like learn more, colon at this link is on Facebook or you know, link in bio, using like warmer words like you're invited.
Ooh, I like that.
Right? Lend your support, you know, get your action or get your social into gear by following me here. Like just being a little bit more descriptive around, you know, first time home buyer, send me a DM. You know, just like getting people to take that action on and off the platform. And so again, if your goal is engagement, you want to have more of those internal examples. If your goal is to get more emails or more downloads of your freebie, then you need to direct people off of social. And I don't know what it is, but a lot of us are really terrible at driving traffic off of social.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, it's one of those simple things that we can do. And it's become more and more of a simple process through Instagram stories. Like, we now all have the link feature, the link sticker. Like, no more do we need to have 10,000 followers, you know, for the swipe up. We all get the goods for, you know, as long as we got 100 followers.
I remember that now. Yes.
And I think that's what started this whole, like, I'm blaming this, but like, this is what started everyone being like, I need 10,000 followers because I want the swipe up, because I want to connect the digital dots between my Instagram and my website. Well, good news. Now you only need 100 people to like your account, and then you can do it automatically. But I will tell you, people still don't do it.
Right. 100%. And I think that's absolutely right. We need call to actions. For us, I think it's creating funnels and getting people to come to your website, get them to enter in information for you so that you can follow up with drip campaigns and things like that. So a lot of wonderful information, guys, here. Carlin, how would our real estate agents learn more about you and learn more about OSNAP Social?
Yeah, they can visit osnapsocial.com/resources. I'm a lead magnet junkie, so there's a lot of free resources there for them to download and adopt into their strategy.
And I went to that before we met. I went to that website, looked at some of the resources, and she's right. There's 50 ways to do this, 7 ways to do this. So if you're one of those agents that really need kind of a step-by-step or a list of, hey, I need 50 ideas, I need 5 ideas, it's all there on her website, guys. You absolutely need to go look at it. And the good news is Carlin's agreed to come back and do another podcast with us. We're going to talk about social media trends here in 2024. So I can't wait to have you back for that podcast as well.
Love it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Come look forward to having you back. And that's all the time I have for our show today. If you'll please like us, share us, and subscribe to us. And please tell all the other real estate agents around town about how cool Dish and Dirt is so we can get more subscribers and have more great guests like Carlin. You guys have a great weekend, and we'll see you again next week for Dish and Dirt.